Welcome to That Groovy Scoopcast, your go-to audio hub for all things Scooby-Doo.
That Groovy Scoopcast? What kind of name is that?
Relax, Derek. It's just a name.
That's what they said about Transylvania. Welcome back, guys. My name is Derek.
And I'm Shannon.
And today, we are going to be discussing the episode, The Creepy Creature from Vulture's Claw, from the Scooby-Doo Show. Shannon, what were your overall thoughts on this episode?
It was interesting.
Yeah. I liked the monster.
The monster was interesting and fast.
Fast. Okay.
Yeah. Like, I think our villain was fast. We'll get into it.
We'll expand. Before we dive in to our review, we are going to kick off our Mystery Machine match, our weekly trivia competition where Shannon and I try to figure out which one of us knows Scooby-Doo better than the other. Currently, our points are sitting with me at 5 and Shannon with 3, because Shannon didn't get any of her questions correct last week.
And you know what? I know for a fact you're going to get at least 2, probably all 3 this week.
Okay.
So just wish me luck, I guess.
Okay. Well, as always, Shannon, you get to ask the first question today.
In A Night of Fright is No Delight, what must Scooby-Doo accomplish to inherit the fortune?
He has to just stay the whole night at the house, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the whole episode.
That's the whole thing.
Okay, yeah. Here's your first question. The gang once visited the El Moro Fortress, located in what U.S. territory? The Virgin Islands or Puerto Rico?
And what's the name of the fortress?
El Moro Fortress.
Puerto Rico?
You are correct. It was Puerto Rico.
What Han Solo playing character is one of Fred's heroes?
Wouldn't that just be Harrison Ford?
Yeah.
Cool.
Yep.
Here is your next question. Richard Suckle, one of the producers of the Scooby-Doo movie, was an associate producer on what Denzel Washington film, Fallen or Glory? You see my face right now. I wouldn't even know where to start. Fallen or Glory, Shannon?
I want to go Fallen?
It was Fallen.
All right.
Why is that kind of question in a Scooby-Doo trivia game? Like, I don't get it.
I don't know. In What a Night for a Night, the museum curator is also an art swindler or an art forager?
Swindler?
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, wouldn't forager also be correct?
But what did, like, they call themselves in the episode was art swindlers. That's how we got the art swindlers gang.
Well, I remember that, but I thought that we came up with that. I don't know.
I thought of that, too, but I don't know how we would have come up with the word swindler.
Guys, do y'all remember the Art Swindlers gang? Because they're still out there.
They're still out there. We get emails occasionally. They're still
out there. Here is your last question. What color headband does Daphne wear?
Purple.
No. You are correct.
Green. No, it is purple?
The card says purple. I think both are correct, though.
Yeah. I was like,
I've seen green on her head as well.
Yeah.
Okay, I'm going to actually, like, look right now. Give me 1 second. Because I'm, like, forgetting what Daphne looks like.
It's one of those, like, I look at your face every day, but if somebody asked me, hey, what color are Derek's eyes, I would immediately forget.
Oh, I guess it is typically purple. I swear I've seen green, though.
Well, like, I think, no, we've definitely seen her with green on her head.
I don't know.
Okay.
Well, that's 3 for 3 for each of us, so we are finishing today with me with 8 points and you with 6.
That's the second time this season that we've done 3 for 3.
And that is going to be the trend because I'm hoping for good times in season 5.
Yes.
So hope you guys enjoyed that. We will move on now to our review of The Creepy Creature of Vulture's Claw. Here is a premise for the episode coming from Scoobypedia. While visiting Vulture's Claw Botanical Gardens, owned by one of Velma's friends, Professor Greer, the gang confronts a 7-foot-tall praying mantis that roams the grounds and is scaring away Professor Greer's associates. Well, I think that it is smart with this discussion to just lay it all out there right now.
Yeah.
Professor Greer, the professor friend of Velma's, is the monster. He is the villain in today's episode. And it brings about a lot of problems, I think, as well as just curious questions to me as to why he even did any of this.
Yeah.
But my animation note for the overall episode is wonky.
Yeah, that's fair.
It is really wonky.
Yeah.
And I don't really want to, like, spend a lot of time on that today. I feel like it was a more egregious in the Mystery in Persia episode. Yeah. Today I'm not going to focus on that.
I had something weird that I noticed, which was that we never got the professor's first name. We get everyone else's first and last name and profession. We never know anything about the professor besides the fact that he's a professor. His last name.
We didn't get the caretaker's first name. We got Keeble. We don't have a first name.
Harry.
Wow, I missed that. Okay, yeah, I guess we didn't get Professor
Keeble's first name. Because I wrote it down because we got Harry Keeble, which is the caretaker. We got Clyde Diggerman, which I just put was the other guy. He was that, like, lawyer person.
He was a real estate agent.
I did not care about him. He was so irritating. And then we got Eric Garby, who was the assistant.
Eric Arby. I just thought Arby's. We have the meats.
But yeah, we never get the professor's first name. He's just
Greer.
Yeah.
Well, we start the episode off with what is clearly, like, a nighttime scene. We can hear the crickets. I'm going to say it's, like, 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah.
Like, it's late. So I don't know why a delivery man is still working. That's just sad. And
I once talked to an Amazon driver who said, like, they have to, or no, maybe it was, like, FedEx or whatever, and they said they just deliver whenever they're done. So, like, it could be, like, midnight.
This is in the 70s, though.
I don't know.
Like, I can see that now, but not then. I also just can't help but wonder if the package is, like, important because it's being delivered so late. And then
it was those pieces that were in the
The science lab,
like, hidden. Yeah, in the lab that weren't connected to anything. Like, yeah. That's what he needed. It was his last pieces of nothing.
Well, I also am just confused because Professor Greer, who is the recipient of this package, disguises himself as the praying mantis creature to attack the delivery man. And it's like, leave my house, even though you are delivering me items to my house.
Like, and, like, just, he full-on goes to attack him.
Yeah, it was like a murder scene, like, in a horror movie. Like, he walks around the truck, the delivery man is, like, in the car shaking, trying to start the engine to the car, like.
And the car's, like, not starting. Like, yes. I was just, like, I would have shit myself.
Well, you know, and then there's lightning. You know, because it's just storming this entire night, guys.
At that point, I honest to God would have just given up and let him kill me.
Well, he's also tall as hell.
Yeah.
7 feet tall is what they say.
Yeah, so they say 7 feet tall, but that thing was as tall as the truck. I took pictures, like, throughout the episode.
I mean, it varies in height, but yeah, it was at one point as tall as the truck. I wrote, that's a tall boy.
Yeah.
So I like that when the gang is coming up the road to see the garden. I had this question in my head, which was Professor Greer expecting the gang to come? But it turned out they were just stopping by because they were in the area. That's something that Velma says when she's talking to the caretaker. But again, this is like 10, 11 o'clock at night.
Yeah, you can't just go rolling up to people's houses like that.
Right.
I'm wondering if, like, maybe it's just, like, you know, right now, like, October, November, December, it starts getting, like, darker faster. So maybe it's only, like, 7 p.m. I mean, that's still late to be rolling up to somebody's house.
But, like, this isn't really, like, just a regular friend. Like, this is your professor, like, a former teacher in, like, high school or college. Like,
yeah.
I don't know. Just a weird set of circumstances, in my opinion, for the plot of this episode. And the truck driver that we see at the beginning of the episode almost runs the mystery machine off the street.
Yeah. I mean, understandably so. He almost just died.
I'm surprised he didn't die.
Yeah.
Professor Greer is shown in episode to be willing to kidnap people. I don't think he's above murder either.
You don't know.
So they're looking at a map, and you can clearly see that the island is shaped like a vulture's claw, hence the name. And Shaggy's just like, what's with the name? What kind of name is that? And Fred goes, well, relax, Shaggy. It's just a name. That's what they said about Transylvania. And he said it so ominously, like, he has some trauma associated with Transylvania, in my opinion.
What happened at Transylvania?
What happened in Transylvania, Shaggy? And, yeah, Mr. Machine almost gets run off the road. When they hit the brakes, Scooby flies out the window. There's a whole gag with a woodpecker attack. The typical Scooby-Doo cartoon antics.
I didn't love that, like, Scooby, like, fell out the window like that, though. Like,
I don't understand I don't understand how that happened either. But he was sitting, like, in the front seat, so, like, he was, like, right by the window. I just don't understand the physics of how he just wound up wrapped around and holding on by the map.
And
the
also, that's a strong map.
That's a strong material map. I gotta figure out what kind of paper they use.
Yeah.
So, when they arrive to the botanical garden, Daphne acknowledges that the place is creepy, and I agree. Like, this place does not look welcoming, but then again, what place in the Scooby-Doo universe does? And this is also at nighttime. It's storming outside. This is just not the place to be right now.
No. I'd rather sleep in the van.
I think I wrote, who would ever want to come here, like, day or night? Like, this is just an awful place.
How are you just like, yeah. And I think they said, like, because they were like, oh, it looks abandoned, and it looks like, you know, they left in a hurry and all this stuff. And I'm like, yeah, this place looks like shit. Why are you here?
I just wanted to make a side note. 3 for 3 episode with weird things going on with gates. So that gate to the botanical garden kept opening and closing, and no one was acknowledging it.
Not having it.
So I'm just like, 3 for 3. This is going strong, guys.
Never surround anything with a gate. That's what I've learned. You're gonna be haunted. If you put a gate in your house, you're gonna be haunted. Gates come with an automatic haunting.
Absolutely. It comes with a ghost. Like, it's just its own guardian ghost.
It's buy one, get one free. You buy the gate, you get a free ghost.
This is when we meet the caretaker, Harry Keeble, as you have identified him. He is just, you know, yelling at the gang, like, what are you doing here? And blah, blah, blah. Velma tries to resolve it. You know, it's been like, we're here to see Professor Greer, even though we're coming unannounced.
The thing is, he says that they're trespassing, and they haven't even stepped foot inside of the gate yet.
Yeah, you're not on the property, so no.
No, they're just standing outside, which is a little sketchy that they are just standing outside, but you're not trespassing. Mm-hmm. You're just pissing me off.
Right. And did you notice, it started here, they do really weird face close-ups in this episode. Like, you could see the color of this man's eyes. They were brown.
I didn't love it. Yeah, I didn't love that.
But he just told them, like, you better take Professor Greer and leave. Like, get off this property and da-da-da. Because he said that, you know, there's something haunting and running around the gardens.
I wonder if he knows that the monster is the professor. And so he's like, just get this motherfucker out of here. I'm just trying to take care of the trees. And, like, this motherfucker keeps running around in a costume. Like, get him out!
Right. And after he leaves, Shaggy just kind of, like, turns to the rest of the gang. And she's like, what do you say we all just get out of here? I'm allergic to big, loose, evil things.
Same.
So, this is when I think this is, like, pretty much the only animation note I'm going to say. They start walking in the garden to get to the mansion, because Fred saw a light, and he just wants to follow it. And they're trying to do this thing where they're showing the gang, like, walking at an angle, and it doesn't look correct.
No, I don't love it.
This is around the time, I think, with the animation for this series, where they try to do elaborate, interesting-looking angles. And if they did it right, it would look cool. But it doesn't look cool yet. Like, they're not getting it yet.
This was the practiced series.
Yes. Scooby disappeared for a second, and Shaggy stays behind to grab him. I noticed that Shaggy was either crying or intensely sweating. Did you see that?
No.
He had, like, drops. They were by his eyes, so at first I thought he was crying. But then I thought it could maybe even just be sweat from walking.
I don't know.
Or maybe it's rain. I don't know. Maybe it's even rain. Either
way, the note that I had for it was, when did Scooby get brave enough to wander?
He came back with flowers, though.
I mean, it was very sweet, but, like, that's not my Scooby.
No, it's not. But then those flowers immediately died when they heard the sound of the praying mantis. And
so I wonder if maybe that's why everything's dead. Like, if he left, I wonder if everything would thrive. But just the sound that he makes kills everything.
That's horrifying. Now, this is where they're attacked by the mantis, and Scooby ends up giving him the dead flowers, And in response to receiving dead flowers, the mantis blows in Scooby's face.
Yeah, that was super weird.
He was just like...
I wrote that down because I was like...
Okay. I would have more so expected, like, he, like, slapped the flowers out of the way and then attack or toss them away or something. No, he takes them and then just blows in Scooby's face. Maybe that's a form of appreciation? Did the professor like this gesture?
I don't know. We'll never know.
We'll never know. Now, they do run into the professor in the garden, which makes sense now that we know that he is the villain.
And but he changes so fast.
He does have a really good
in and out of costume. Change. It is a thing throughout the entire episode that he changes fast.
Really good costume chains. Yep. They do go back to the mansion, and he says to the gang that he's been trying to capture the creature for weeks. So he takes them down to their creepy dungeon science lab, which he needs to take a torch down. Did you see that he was holding a torch when they were going down
it's
the stairs?
It's so random.
It's like that torch in the Spooky Space Kook episode that Shaggy had.
Yeah.
It's just torches and creepy gates everywhere. That's the theme of season 5, guys, is haunted gates and torches. Now,
we didn't rig to get all the torches and gates in this episode, but, like, it just happened.
It's just happening. We might as well just watch Frank and Creepy again.
I feel like that's what we're leading up to.
Now, the way I wrote it in my notes, I wrote creepy dungeon stairs down to a science lab because aesthetic.
I literally wrote, like, why is there always just a random dungeon? And it doesn't... he opens this, like, completely regular door dungeon.
Yeah, because, like, the rest of the house looks like just a regular house. Like, this isn't a castle. It's not...
I aspire to own that house. I want just a regular-ass door, and then it's just dungeon.
Right.
And you're like, oh! Okay!
When they are in the science lab, this is when the professor shows the gang the diary. So he says that he found this diary, and he opens it to this entry about some person who had a fatal error in their experiments and turned into the creature. But it's just so suspicious, and I didn't really even realize the first time I watched. It's really suspicious because he doesn't say who the person was, when it happened, whose diary this is. Like, he gives no details at all about this whatsoever.
He put so much effort into it, Derek. What are you talking about? There was that whole one page.
Because it was only one page. That's what they acknowledge later on when they're looking at the diary. They're like, this is kind of weird. What's that? The fact that it only has one entry? Yeah.
Yep.
So, yeah, it's just the vagueness of this is just really illuminating once you realize that he is the villain. It's like, you put a lot of effort. You know, I feel like it would have just been better if he didn't have a backstory for the creature at all. Like, it's just a garden with a creepy monster in it. Like, do you really need a science lab backstory? Because the science lab is also a ruse.
Yeah. Because at one point, like, when they go back down there at one point, they're, like, holding a bunch of stuff, and they're like, nothing is connected to anything.
What was it that Vama said? She wrote,
the equipment looks... What is he a professor of?
I don't know. I have no idea.
Not science.
But, no, it was Vama. She says that this equipment looks pretty suspicious.
Yeah.
So, yeah, all around, I don't know what kind of science he teaches, if any.
What did he teach? What is he a professor of? Because you know it's not science, because, God, I hope it's not science. Because if he could have actually had a lab for himself, and instead was just like, let's make a fake lab.
With fake equipment and a fake science diary and a fake monster.
Okay.
Now, when the professor is reading the diary entry, Scooby gets scared and he runs up the stairs and he accidentally bumps into the real estate agent, who is Clyde Dickerman, who is, like, you know, eavesdropping in on the conversation. When they're getting up from the floor, there was a weird slide transition that went across the screen. It was super slow. It was just something I noticed. And I guess he wants Professor Greer to sell the property in the garden to him. And Greer's like, no, I'm not going to do that. And, you know, just the whole schmell you usually get in one of these kind of Scooby-Doo situations. The guy leaves. And then Greer explains to the gang that he doesn't actually even own the property yet. And I'm like, then why are you here? How are you even here?
You can't just live on property you don't own yet.
My theory here is that he's buying it from the former owners of, like, just the garden facility itself. Yeah. But I'm guessing then, since he's a professor, apparently in science, he must, like, have, like, residency there. So, like, maybe he already lived there anyway.
But then, like, but wouldn't he already have, like, a lab or something?
I don't know. Again, we don't even know what he teaches, so I really don't know.
I hate it.
I'm assuming he already lived there before he even started up the whole conversation of buying the place. I just don't understand.
So maybe, like, because he says that the monster chased everybody off. So maybe, because this is all, what is it? Isn't it also, like, for, like, an oil? Like, he found oil there or something?
He wants the oil that's on the property, yes.
Yeah. So, okay, so here's what I'm thinking. Maybe he already lived there and, like, a bunch of people worked there and lived there, whatever. And then he found the oil and he was like, I need to own this before anybody else discovers it so that I can make the money.
And well, yeah, so that's then, the whole plan, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So he dresses up, scares everybody off, and that way he's the only person there besides the caretaker. And they want to sell it, and he's like, well, that's fine, like, I'll buy it because I'm not scared of the monster.
But the monster doesn't even need to be there because he's already in the process of buying it. He already has the offer in.
No, like, that's because he was using the monster to scare everybody else away. So then so then once everyone's gone, because the caretaker is still there,
fire
he's still
him.
Trying to scare the...
Just fire
the guy. He can't
fire him
yet because he doesn't own it. But, like, if the monster just mysteriously disappeared, then everybody would come back because they'd be like, oh, the monster's gone. So, like, he has to keep the ruse. And maybe that's why he scared away the delivery guy, because it can't just be like, oh, he only picks on people that live here. It's a monster. Like, he doesn't want anyone on his property. He's going to scare everybody away.
The delivery man did not need to be terrorized for the sake of the story of the monster.
Yeah, because then the delivery guy is going to go back and, like, solidify that the monster is there. So he's going to go back into town and be like, bro, I got attacked by that monster. Like, nobody go up there. Like,
okay,
there's
a monster
up there.
Okay, that's just an added bonus. That wasn't necessary is the point. Him not doing that.
But it makes sense.
Anyway, we get another close-up on Greer just saying, you guys need to leave. And the gang's like, okay. So they're all going
to
stay.
Everybody is trying to get the gang to leave.
Yes. They're going to stay the night, and I was kind of confused here. So, Shaggy and Scooby are going to go into their bedrooms, clearly to go to sleep. And I'm assuming Fred, Daphne, and Velma saw them go in there. But, like, later they knock on the door asking what they're doing and if they're going to come out with them. I was like,
yeah,
no.
It was super weird.
I went to bed. But I also noted that Velma is totally third-wheeling on Daphne and Fred. So, Daphne was just saying something about, like, how she's not going to be able to sleep because of the crazy things going on. And then Fred says, what do you say we do a little exploring on our own? And he said it suggestively.
He did.
He kind of did. And then here's Velma right next to him goes, oh, I'm with you. I'm just like thinking, like, Fred's probably thinking in the back of his head, like, fuck, Velma, no. Go to bed with Shaggy and Scooby.
Honestly, like, you'd be sitting there trying to be like, yeah, let's go explore. And I'd be like, okay, yeah, let's go.
Velma, just go to bed. Now,
it's like, I'm trying to explore Daphne.
So, Shaggy and Scooby are getting ready for bed. And this is after they've already told Fred, Daphne, and Velma no. The door is knocked on again, and this time it's the creature. Only Scooby noticed that it was the creature this time. So, like, he crawls up Shaggy's shirt. And I noted, like, how Scooby's describing the monster to him. And he goes, big? Yeah, big. Okay. It's green? Green. Okay. It's scary. Scary. It's the praying mantis, isn't it?
I know, because I'm like, oh, come on.
They do, like, a normal cartoon chase scene. You know, they're running around. Although, I do want to specifically note one thing here. So, you know how whenever they go, like, into, like, drawers and a dresser and everything like that, they're always popping up out of other drawers and, you know, just teleporting all over the place? they acknowledged it this time.
Yeah, I did notice that. I loved that.
Yeah. So they're in the drawer, and then they teleport over to a wardrobe, and they come out of the wardrobe, and Shaggy's like, how do we do that? And Scooby goes, I don't know. Okay, well, we'll figure it out later.
We'll deal with that later.
Then they didn't.
No, they never did.
0 out of 10 now. The fact that I didn't get an answer to that, the episode's done. Doesn't get any Scooby
Snacks. This episode, you didn't answer me my most basic question.
This is just an early example of Shaggy's wizardry, I think, if anything.
Yeah, this is him, like, practicing teleporting. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
We head over to Fred, Daphne, and Velma, who are in the science lab, and, you know, they indicate that the diary only has one entry in it at this point. They meet Eric Arby. Again, he has the meats. He comes out from the top shelf of a bookshelf. Did you notice how he entered the scene? Like, he just falls out of the top shelf of a bookshelf. I'm like, dude, what are you doing?
Everything about this man is frustrating. Because, like, every single time we see him, he's just doing, like, dumb shit.
He has the dorkiest voice. He has the dorkiest outfit. And the dorkiest name. Like, I wrote that he's just a straight-up dweeb. And He's trying to find clues or whatever, and Daphne's like, well, maybe we can all work together. And then he did, like, that little weird smile at the rest of the gang, and then it cuts scene to Shaggy and Scooby again.
Yeah.
I'm just like, well, okay.
Shaggy and Scooby are running from the monster, and then, like, I love that Scooby just dipped out on Shaggy.
And left him to die. Yeah.
Like, the mantis is, like, right behind him. And Scooby, like, dips in this door and just leaves Shaggy. And Shaggy's banging on the door and he's like, please let me in. Please let me in. Please let me in. Like, it's your friend Shaggy. I'm gonna die. Like, it's gonna be your late friend Shaggy unless you open this door. It
took him so long to open the door. And so finally, when he does, he grabs the mantis.
And then Shaggy's just like, oh. But he doesn't open the door to help him at all. He's just like, he stands there like, yeah, motherfucker, what are you going to do now?
I mean, karma.
Yeah. Karma got mad. Scooby quick.
Now, I don't like that the oil pits on this property is supposed to be a secret, but yet they have a trap door.
Yeah.
That goes down to the oil pits.
Has no one pulled that lever before? Because if I live or work in a house and they're like, hey, don't pull that lever, I'm going to pull the lever.
I'm just so mad about its existence, because that's what blows the whole idea about, like, just the oil pits being a secret to me. Because it's clearly right there. That had to have been constructed. Maybe, like, the professor is an engineer. Like, you know, maybe he went into engineering and that's how he put it all together.
Maybe he put it in after everybody else left.
But why?
Yeah, I don't know.
Now, they slide down the trapdoor into the pit. They get attacked by the slowest crocodile ever.
Yeah.
It is so slow. And it follows them back to the science lab, because the science lab has a revolving door that goes into the oil pits. Why?
Couldn't tell you that.
Why? And was it the sound of the mantis, or was it the crocodile at this point that scares Eric away? He gets scared away by something, because Fred calls after him, and he's already gone.
Okay, so I think that, like, the sound of the praying mantis scares Eric away, but he runs towards the sound. Because, of course, he does.
Well, I mean, you know, all the characters are acting suspicious in this episode, so, like, I wasn't surprised, especially at the end when they had that weird scene where all the suspects were just watching the gang.
Yes. No, we're going to talk about that. We're going to talk about that later. Because that was so what the fuck.
Yeah. At this point, he dips. They all chase after him up to the, you know, main floor of the mansion. And then Daphne gets kidnapped by the mantis.
Mm-hmm.
You know, a wall door opens and she just gets snatched and she's gone. Although Velma saw, apparently, that the mantis did it. Like, she didn't question, where did Daphne go? She says, the mantis got Daphne. So she just fucking watched him do that.
Yeah.
And said nothing until after she was gone.
She was like, oh, oops.
Velma is like, no help today.
No. Because she wants to explore Fred. So with Daphne gone,
she can go exploring.
She's like,
no, wet for Fred.
Because she goes, you know, I'm with you. Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm-hmm. Now, at this point, they go to wake up Professor Greer. And this is an example of both fast costume change as well as just being a fast human. Like, they acknowledge that there's, like, secret tunnels and stuff in this mansion, but he had to have had enough time to be in the mantis costume, grab Daphne, take her to that shack mm-hmm. on the property, tie her up and gag her and hide her away behind the cabinet or wherever she was in the shack, go back to the mansion, change, and then get into bed.
And you know what the gang did in that process?
They walked up the upstairs. Stairs to his bedroom. Yep.
Yeah.
I don't even know what to
we
think.
We always I don't say that there's hidden henchmen somewhere, so I think this is... I think he blindfolded Daphne, threw her to one of the henchmen, and then ran upstairs.
But then, also, why kidnap her? If you want everybody to leave, no why did you kidnap her? I don't understand. What was your end goal with that? Like, I don't want to go down...
Because you're... Like, are you going to kill her?
Why did he take her?
Yeah,
if he just wants everybody to leave. I don't know. I don't want to go there. But so the gang is now outside after being told by Greer that he has to change and grab his coat. And they ambush.
He's like, oh, I'll be there in a second. When he said that, I out loud was like, no, he won't.
But they accidentally ambush Bickerman, the real estate guy. Because they thought that he was the mantis. And I like how they ask him, like, what he's doing. And he's like, it's none of your business. And it's like, then why are you on this property? Trespassing.
Right. Get the
you
fuck do not out. Live
or own this place. Like, this is none of your business. And they ask him one other question. I don't remember what it was. But he doesn't answer. He just runs away.
Okay. So what happens is they go, why aren't you scared?
Mm-hmm,
and then he walks away.
Yeah.
But my thing is... Legitimate question. Why isn't he scared?
It is a good question. It is a genuinely good question.
Because he's in on it. I don't know why.
Or the diary isn't a fake. Maybe he's like the crocodile monster in the New York Underground. But like he's a were-gator, but not a were-gator. Now he's a were-mantis. So he transforms into a mantis at night.
Okay.
Really far-fetched theory. I don't want to follow that. No, I think he's just in on it somehow. But, you know, they end up being chased to the shack. They find Daphne. And now they're on their way back to the mansion. And this is when we see all three of the suspects who aren't the professor watching them. We've got the caretaker. We've got the real estate agent. And we've got Arby's. And... they're just all watching them, like, super sketch-like.
Yeah.
Why?
I don't understand it at all.
I thought that Arby's would have left, like...
That's the thing, is because he came back because he didn't want to leave the professor alone, but then also ran away.
But now he's watching them from outside a window as if, like, he has something to hide? Like, what are you doing?
Yeah.
Like, weren't you friendly towards the gang earlier? What is your issue, dude?
Yeah, I don't know.
I have always noticed this in any Scooby-Doo episode when oil is involved. I don't know why, but the word oil triggers all of these children. Every time one person is like, oh, this is oil, everyone collectively responds, oil! And they do it every single time. Like, I'm not exaggerating. They do that every fucking time.
They did do it in this any one and episode. I laughed.
Any episode where oil is involved, someone will say oil, and then everyone just loses their fucking minds.
That should be our new thing. We should find a word, and whenever one of us says it, everybody yells.
It's kind of like that Pee-wee's Playhouse. It's like... Oil? Ah!
Oil! Yep.
So, Greer was not able to find his coat.
Unfortunately.
As you had said earlier, yes. But then he proceeds to teleport.
Well, Because they, so the gang drags Mud in with them. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden the professor like turns to start walking away because he's like, oh, let's go inside or whatever. And Shaggy's like, yeah, I'm following him. And so then because
Velma saw the footprints. Velma saw Greer's
Yeah, but was that before or after the like praying mantis?
This was right before. Thing. Okay. Yeah, no, here's what happened. So the cutout of the mantis appears in the window and it scares everybody, including Greer. Greer starts running.
That's
and
what it was.
From what he has told the gang, he has not been outside because he couldn't find his coat.
Mm-hmm.
And as he starts running, that's when Velma sees the muddy footprints.
Yeah.
Now
and that's the whole thing, because right when I saw the praying mantis in the window, because at that point, because like I kind of was more, I thought from the beginning that it was gonna be the caretaker. So at this point, but like right when I like saw the muddy footprints, obviously you're like, oh okay. But then when I saw the cutout, I was like, that's not the real praying mantis. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know what triggered me, but I was just like, that's not the real one. Well, and then he ran around the corner and like, but he again, such a quick change.
Yeah, because, well, he went around the corner in the door and then suddenly the monster's right behind them. Like the real one, not the cardboard
one. He had to have like jumped out a window, thrown the costume on and fucking come around.
Maybe he's an evil wizard.
Okay, I'm willing to admit
With the ability to transform into a praying mantis.
Oh, so, like, it's not a costume.
Well, we see a costume at the end, but, like, I don't know, maybe it's, like, an elaborate magic trick where, like, a costume just appears on him. Like, maybe he doesn't actually turn into a real mantis, but, like, he can just, like, materialize a costume out of nothing.
Well, I mean, if he's an engineer, maybe he does that, like, Tony Stark thing, where, like, he'll have the whole Iron Man suit and, like, his watch or whatever. Oh, with the
nanobots, yes.
Yeah, so, like, as he's running, he slaps his wristwatch, and then the praying mantis costume just flies on him.
I think we just cracked this case.
Boom.
So, yeah, the mantis attacks Fred, Daphne, and Velma. I noted that Daphne says in, you know, all of this, well, at least we know that the professor's safe. Why do you care? Like, you're about to die, and that's what you're gonna say?
They were like, oh no, the professor.
And while they're being attacked, Shaggy and Scooby are on top of a chandelier, and this is when Fred goes, Shaggy, plan 46. So this is where we learn that they have a book that has specific plans and maneuvers for trapping specific monsters.
I honestly think that Warner Brothers should make that book because I'd buy it.
Well, here, I'll show you that. I have this right on my bookshelf. I have the Scooby-Doo encyclopedia.
Uh-huh.
Like, this just needs to become the trap thing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, they need it.
I actually wrote down, like, the different things that Shaggy flips through. So, they're looking for Plan 46. Plan 12 is for sea monsters.
Okay.
Plan 33 is for ghosts, mm-hmm. which seems like a really high number for such a generic category, but anyway. Yeah. He goes to Plan 44, but Scooby corrects him that it needs to be 46, so we don't actually learn what Plan 44 is. But Plan 46 is specifically for 7-foot insects.
I wonder how often they come across them.
And, yeah, right. And on top of that, the maneuver also involves a saw and the chandelier. So they just had the perfect circumstances right there to execute Plan 46.
Okay, I also imagine them, like, coming up with the book, right? So they're, like, writing it down in the book. And I imagine they get to 46 and Fred's like, we need one for 7-foot insects. And Daphne's like, Fred, come, like, that, no. 7-foot insect? Fred, come on. We are not going to come across a 7-foot insect. Are you kidding me?
Plan 17 was for 6-foot insects.
Yeah. And then, like, he was like, come on, just in case. And she's like, all right, fine, whatever. And then he was like, okay, so here's what we're going to do. We're going to get on a chandelier, saw it, and have it drop on him. And she's like, what if there's not a fucking chandelier, Fred? So we're just going to waste a whole plan? And then, like, and then the second that they were like, Plan 46, and she looks up and is just like, fuck you. That's how I imagine the whole thing goes down. She's like, what the fuck, man? All right, fine. Fucking fine. You and then, win.
And then passive-aggressively says, at least we know the professor's safe.
Yep. Just, she's pissed. She's done. She's like, all right, well, fuck it. The professor's fucking safe. All right.
Oh,
I'm going home.
So yeah, the chandelier falls and they capture the monster. This is when all the gang, like, go through their suspicions. I think Fred was like, it was Dickerman. And then, like, Dickerman comes out of a wall. He's like, nope, it wasn't me. And then someone said Keeble, the caretaker, and he's just chilling inside a grandfather clock because yeah. Why?
Why? Okay.
Also, what is it with grown adults being able to fit inside these grandfather clocks? Because, what was it, Phyllis Diller was yeah. knocked out and hidden inside a grandfather clock, I think? Or was it her, or was it...
No, I'm pretty sure it was her.
Was it her? Okay. Yeah, but I'm sorry. I think only maybe children can fit in those things.
I want a grandfather maybe. Clock. I want to try it.
I will not be assisting in that, because you're going to get hurt.
I'm going to get stuck. I need somebody to help me out.
Arby's comes in from the front door.
He's so boring. At that point, I was just like, fuck that guy.
Even though I thought he was already inside, because he was looking at them from inside the mansion earlier.
He was like, I was just in this other room. I also love that Dickerman was just like in a wall.
Yeah, he just came out of a wall. It's like, nope, it wasn't me. And then also, every time we see one of them reveal themselves, a flash of lightning appears.
Yeah.
I'm just like, okay. Now, we learn that, yeah, Greer fabricated the diary, the science lab. I love the fact that he felt the need to develop a backstory for this monster. It just, why? I don't know. I do appreciate, though, the in-episode clue where Velma sees Greer running away with the footprints. I thought that was actually kind of neat.
Yeah.
I don't know. I actually really appreciated that. But we learned during their explanation of Greer's plan that Dickerman also knew about the oil. And that's why he wanted to buy it from Greer. And since there is a trap door in the mansion that goes down to the pits, I'm just wondering how many other people probably also know about the oil pits. Like, it might not even be a secret. Like, it might just be Greer. It could be a
well-known thing.
It might just be Greer thinking that it's a jackpot and it's just acting like it is, when really the sellers are like, no, that's part of the deal. That's that's why the deal is taking so long to go through.
Yep.
But yeah, so Greer was trying to buy the property, and I just don't really think that any of this was necessary.
Not even in the slightest.
If he did not want people on the property, like Dickerman, he could have called the cops. He could have just said, hey, Dickerman is trespassing. If he's having issues with Arby's, he could just been like, Eric, you gotta go. Sorry, bud, like, the internship's over. The caretaker, I don't know how he would have done with the caretaker, but I think there was just legal ways that he could have gotten around getting people off the property in this situation.
Oh, 100%.
The episode ends with Scooby laughing at one of Shaggy's jokes. I wrote that Scooby is one of those kinds of people who laugh at a joke even though he doesn't get it.
Yeah. No, definitely.
I don't have any more notes for the episode, do you?
No.
Well, that was the creepy creature of Vulture's Claw. Shannon, what do you give it on the Scooby Snackometer?
I gave it a 4.
Okay.
Care to I had explain? A good time, but it wasn't my favorite episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I wouldn't watch it again. That's kind of my goat. Like, that's the main reason. Like, I didn't love it. I wouldn't watch it again. I don't really, like, hate it. Mm-hmm. But it's just, like, there was so much where it was just like, dude, like, come on.
So, I have to admit something to you. I watched this episode 4 times.
I watched it 3 times.
The reason is because I said on the first time to watch it, you know, just do the initial watch. And then I watched it 3 more times to take the notes. And then I kept forgetting to take the notes.
I watched it the first time for the initial watch. And then I watched it a second time just to take pictures of all the ridiculous shit that was happening. And yeah. Then I was like, oh, I also need to also take my notes. I'm going to have to watch this again.
I gave it a 5 myself.
Okay.
I feel like it's just a really middle-of-the-roads kind of episode for me. I think the monster was a really strong point of the episode.
Okay.
Like, I love the praying mantis, personally. And the mystery, I think, is what's bringing it down, because it's just not that, like, tight, I think. I feel like there just needs to be some tweaking there. Animation's not all that great either. But I liked this episode more than, say, the Space Kook, only because, you know, the Space Kook, awesome monster, that's really the only redeeming quality I can think of for that episode.
Yeah.
And this episode also has a really cool monster. They're both awesome monsters. But then when you think about it, when it comes to their mysteries, the Vulture episode automatically has the better mystery because the Space Kook episode doesn't have one.
Yeah. No, that's... Yeah. Okay.
So, it's, in my opinion, it's automatically a better Scooby-Doo episode because at least it has a mystery. At least I have suspects. And it actually tried to even, like, pull one on me where the suspect is actually the only good guy that we've really been presented with the entire episode.
Okay.
So... Your 4, my 5, we are going to give The Creepy Creature of Vulture's Claw a 4.5 out of 10 on the Scooby Snackometer.
Okay, I respect it.
Yeah. Fun fact of the week. This one I actually got from Scoobypedia itself.
Okay.
About the episode. According to Scoobypedia, this is the first and only time that we see Daphne and Velma both sitting in the back seat of the van, with Scooby and Shaggy in the front.
I don't know if I noticed that they were in the back, but I did notice that Scooby and Shaggy were in the front.
I noticed that they were in the back, but I just didn't think it was that significant.
Yeah.
But apparently it is.
All right. I mean, I don't think they often sit in the back. Well, I mean, obviously, so.
I can't think of an instance where they have, unless maybe, like, they maybe did it in Mystery Incorporated, but I doubt it.
Yeah.
So, guys, if you know of an instance where that happened, let us know. I would love to hear of other instances when that has happened. So, next week we're going to be moving on to the first Scooby-Doo and Scrappy-Doo show. Shannon, would you like to randomize what episode we're going to be watching?
Yeah.
Here we go.
So next week, we are going to be watching The Ghoul, The Bat, and The Ugly.
Okay. Ooh, that monster looks scary.
I know, I was looking that's at it, scary I'm like, looking monster. Terrifying. So we've had some actually, like, scary monsters, yeah.
Mystery and Persia didn't have one, in my opinion, so, like, Jadal doesn't matter. otherwise, though, yeah, we're getting good monsters, we're getting gags with these gates, like...
I wonder if there's gonna be a gate or a torch in this one.
There has to be. So, here's a premise for the episode coming from Scoobypedia. The gang attend the Batty Awards show, which is interrupted by the shadow creature. It seems he wants to put an end to the show, but why? Is he possibly someone wanting to get even for not getting an award? Who knows? They need an award, though, for awesome costume, because that monster looks scary. So, moving on to Scooby-Doo news, I have a few things for us, good and sad, actually.
Okay.
So, I'll start with sad first.
Okay.
So, on November 6th, which was about 8 days ago, a little more than a week ago, Ken Spears passed away. He was one of the co-creators of Scooby-Doo.
Aww.
The other co-creator, Joe Ruby, had passed away back in August. So, now both of the original creators of Scooby-Doo have now passed. Unfortunate to hear.
Unfortunate, but now they have Scooby-Doo in the afterlife, so.
Yeah, at least there's that. On a more positive note, we still have the Scooby-Doo Pop Funko that's exclusively being sold at Hot Topic. You guys can pre-order that right now for $12.50. I have mine on the way. I'm really excited about it to add it to my stack of Funkos. And another thing, which I actually saw from Scooby Addicts on Instagram, she made a post about the fact that in January, they are releasing the first season of Scooby-Doo and Guess Who on DVD.
That'd be a nice birthday gift for somebody whose birthday is in January.
Wow. Yeah. It looks like from the post that she made that it is shipping by January 18th. So it's 4 days after your birthday. But
all right.
I'll keep it in mind for you. So, if you guys would like to talk to us about The Creepy Creature of Vulture's Claw, or The Ghoul, The Bat, and The Ugly, or anything Scooby-Doo related for that matter, you can find us on social media. We are on Facebook and Instagram at That Groovy Scoobcast, and Twitter at Groovy Scoobcast.
We are on YouTube now as well, That Groovy Scoob Cast.
Yes.
You can also send us an email at thatgroovyscoobcast@gmail.com or check out our website, www.thatgroovyscoobcast.com.
And with that, we hope that you enjoyed That Groovy Scoob Cast.
Come back next week for a Scooby Snack Filled Time.
Bye, guys.
Bye.